This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 9th WGN show. We started at 11 right after the Blackhawks. If you don't hear yourself on it, you know the deal. It's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got a couple of hours to spend together, and if you've been calling, you notice our screener is back. That's right. John has returned, so feel free to call, and you don't have to have all the hassle of just having me do this on my own. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I just got an update from Bob on his Tooth Fairy experience. As you'll remember, told you last night that his dad upped the Tooth Fairy take to $1. Of course, he used the same dollar. He always told the kids he's just keeping it safe for them, which is pretty good. But I don't know if he thought he was going to be found out or what, but by the time Bob came along, and I figured he was the oldest, but turns out he was the youngest, Bob just got a quarter. I haven't yet convened with him to find out if he at least got to keep the quarter. So there you have it. So Bob just said, no. All right, well, now we've got key findings in another index. Last night, of course, it was the TFI, the Tooth Fairy Index. Tonight, come on, this is better than the unemployment numbers, isn't it? Actually, I think they were pretty good, but we're going to not discuss that. Here is the deal. It's the junk food index, at least what I like to call anyway. Key findings of which you should be aware is that the average family of four now pays $741 more a year in junk food groceries. Buying the same Coca-Cola cans, 127% more than the 2-liter bottle, all right, and more than in the past. Now, I can attest to that, being a Mexican Coke fan myself, and they used to be a dollar, then a dollar and a quarter. Now they're up to like $2.50, and if you're lucky, you get them for $2 on sale. Well, M&M's, you an M&M fan? Since 2020, the price of M&M's per ounce has gone up 102%. The only product in the analysis to actually fully double. That's because they didn't do Mexican Coke. A box of Frosted Flakes now costs 51% more than 2020. And fewer servings inside. Yes, indeed. There's a deliberate two-step strategy across multiple brands. Raise the price, then shrink the package a year later, saying you didn't raise the price. Yeah, that would go for Doritos, Frosted Flakes, and M&M, probably more than that. So they have a full report online. I also got another one. I haven't really fully read it yet, but where the best place to propose is Chick-fil-A. I have a feeling that Chick-fil-A is sponsoring some of these studies as far as that goes. I think you'll have better luck somewhere else, but it's just my guess. So that's what's on tap for me tonight. As you can see, absolutely useless information is us. So we'll kick it off with Victor, and Victor is in Silver Spring. All right, now I just got to get the magic twanger. Oh, here we go. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself, Victor?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Good.
I was talking to Nick,
yeah,
and we were talking about controversial records.
Uh-huh.
And the most tasteless record I ever heard was played a lot in 1991 by the Divinos. I can't remember the exact title, but something about Touch Myself.
Oh.
And Nick said he was forced to play it.
My God.
And,
never heard of it.
It was a really controversial record.
I just looked it up. I Touched Myself by the Divinyls, 1990. Yeah, all right. Well, I won't be playing it. We'll ignore that as a bumper. But wasn't Turning Japanese along the same lines, I think? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Yeah. I wrote to Casey Kasem asking him, was there a record so controversial it couldn't be played on the radio, but yet got in the top 40? And he answered our question. It was the April 8th show of 1972.
Okay.
One of the songs that was controversial was Timothy by the Boys.
Oh, but that did get airplay. Yeah, Rupert Holmes wrote that. But the person who wrote that show was a friend of mine, because we both worked at Watermark, Nikki Wine. And believe me, they were looking for questions, so I'm sure they were very grateful for your letter.
Oh, they were. They even sent a postcard and said, we're going to answer your question this Sunday.
Oh, great. Great.
And it turned out to be April 8th, 1972.
All right. Do you have the show?
I wish I did.
Okay. Well, let me look. I'll look for it.
Okay. All right. But anyway, I just wanted to check in.
Glad you did.
So I will continue to listen and hear other people call it.
Thanks for calling, Victor. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Johnny is in Austin. All right, Johnny, thanks for calling back.
Oh, God, people say it's him. Oh, no. My God.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's him. I'm thrilled. So.
All right, well, that's cool. I'll be brief.
Oh, don't be brief.
There's no need to be brief. Because a lot of times you say, you know, when there's a game on or something, call in early because the calls are slow. And
sparse, so. Yes, that would be the word.
I'm not trying to dominate the broadcast.
I don't see why not. Speaking of which, I know you don't like to plug it, but I do. So, Soul of the City, and that is Sunday night from 6 to midnight Central Time, soulofthecity.net. All right. Now, last night you were working on it. Have you come up with anything you want to share with us?
I have been buried all day. I finally got out of this house. You know, there's a lot of good to get out sometime, and I'm and you might be the same way. I got so many projects going on, I never get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
And today I said, you know, like it or not, I'm getting the heck out of here and run some errands. So I went to Costco and got in a conversation with a lady about remember the Astrodome when they opened it in Houston?
Of course.
They couldn't get the grass to grow, and the owner, Roy Hoffines.
Yep.
Told somebody, Roy Hoffines was a character anyway, he told somebody, I'll paraphrase it, get me some GD grass in here. If you can't get it to grow, then make some. So that's where AstroTurf, I understand, came from. So anyway, I was at Costco, and there was this lady selling this artificial grass.
Yeah.
So I got into a long conversation with her. And it was pretty fascinating. I asked her, do people actually smoke it? And she said, I wouldn't recommend it. But she was selling the same thing, kind of like AstroTurf. She was a vendor at Costco.
All right.
But anyway, I told her about the show, The Soul of the City, on Sunday nights.
Good.
And she said, oh, I love soul music. And she said, I have twin daughters. One has got Down syndrome. They're both 25 years old. And she said, the one with Down syndrome, I don't have her first name, but it doesn't matter. She said she loves all kinds of music. She said, you never can tell what she's going to like. And she said, I bet you she's going to love your music. So anyway, I gave her my card and stuff, and we talked about talked about weirdness. She said, I told her I was in radio, of course, and she said, I worked for Nielsen, the rating people, for a while.
All right.
And I said, really? And she's a native Austin person.
Uh-huh.
But she did it for the TV rating.
Well, right, because, you know, Nielsen got out of the rating radio business in 1962 because of what happened in Chicago, which was their home base. Did you know about that story?
No.
Oh, this is great.
And again, your level is still low, so yep. You need to get a competent engineer in there to fix that.
I'll do. I already talked to John, and I'm going to work on it this weekend.
Are you the competent engineer in the building?
Yes, I'm afraid I am, and I'll work on it. I'll work on it this weekend. I promise. So aware of it, but no. Here was the deal. My favorite morning man of all time was Dan Sorkin, and Dan Sorkin was on WCFL when they were an MOR station. And he was just terrific. He was the guy who had this campaign, Save Rose Bimler. And everybody's talking about Rose Bimler. In fact, the Chicago Public TV station did a feature on her. Well, of course, she didn't exist. But fine. Now, Nielsen ratings come out. I think it was 62. It could have been 61. And Sorkin is not in them. So the reason I mentioned Rose Bimler is the whole thing about Rose Bimler was that everybody was protesting. And nobody knew what the hell they were protesting, period. That there were all sorts of things going on. And so he gets on the radio and he says, you know, in this era of punch cards and you being, you know, led to become just a number, that was starting off with bills and stuff like that. He said, now there's a company that says you don't exist. And that company is AC Nielsen. Now, they're either saying you don't exist or they're saying that I'm talking to myself. And maybe I am, but no one showed up in the ratings. And so I'd appreciate it if you drop AC Nielsen a line. And of course, the postcards flood in. And the next deal is, because he's going to be unrelenting, is I'd appreciate if you call them. Well, the best part about that is some idiot at AC Nielsen called and tried to get him to stop it. Well, then that was war. And so he said, you know, clearly they think you're like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy, that you just don't exist. So I'd like it if you'd show up. And so anyway, he held a protest in front of AC Nielsen's office. Within a month, they dropped radio ratings. And they didn't pick it up until they wound up buying Arbitron. So all those...
Now, what year were they doing Nielsen back in the old days? What years?
For radio ratings? They were never a dominant force. In the 50s, the dominant forces were Trendex and C.E. Hooper. And that was it.
Hooper, I remember that,
right,
of course.
Yeah, because they
and
were...
And I remember Pulse.
Well, Pulse came a little later, right? And Trendex and Hooper were telephone coincidentals. Pulse, they came to your house with a clipboard. It was an aided recall. The American Research Bureau had been around, and that's what they were. In fact, they were kind of an also-ran player. The box that they put in televisions, like the Nielsen People Meter, was the Arbitron. And the reason they changed their name from the American Research Bureau to Arbitron is because Hispanics wouldn't return the diaries. They thought it was the government asking them questions. And so
wait, they thought what?
They thought it was the government asking them questions. So they couldn't get
the government.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to follow that. Yeah. But why would they think the government?
Well, if you get something from the American Research Bureau and they're asking you questions, and
I get it. I could be fooled by that. I got it. Okay.
Come on.
I'm a little slow, but that's okay.
Well, they were not slow on the uptake, and they wouldn't return the diaries, so they changed.
Oh,
the,
I see.
Changed the name to Arbitron. But anyway,
I probably wouldn't have done it either.
Well, yes. So
remember about 10 years ago they did the American Community Survey?
What do you mean 10 years ago? It's still going on. It's just 10 years ago you heard about it on talk shows. It's still going on to this day.
Well, here goes another value. But, I shouldn't have said that.
Originally, if you go back to when radio started, like the 20s, Hooper was around. C.E. Hooper was around, but Crossley did ratings. And then Nielsen came up with the autometer as far as that goes. So, you know, 29 to 46 were the early years. Some people called them the Crossley years. But Hooper was around from, like, C.E. Hooper from 35 until 1970 when he...
Would you give them credibility?
Here's the thing. Firstly, in these crude days, there were no day parts, there were no demos, and Hooper was a phone call coincidental. Well, hell, that's why the night jock had a 92 share on the top 40 station, because who answers the phone at night? The teen. All right, so you had some issues with regard to the sample, if you were. But actually, it was probably more legit than the hopeless people at Pulse. Because what they did, they divided the city into square blocks, and they would pick a house like the second block, the second house on the right or whatever. They'd go by, and it would be an aided recall. They'd have the whole list and ask what you listened to on it in the past week. And they got fooled in Cleveland because a lot of the kids said CKLW, and it wasn't on the list. So there were things like that. Or like during the Cuban Missile Crisis when WSB broadcast in Spanish, they had some of their highest ratings in Atlanta. Come on, there weren't that many bilingual people. So there were obviously issues. But the reason for the diary, and broadcasters adopted the diary in 1966, fools, because, again, no one with that diary was writing it coincidentally. They'd write it after the fact. And, you know, that's why it was so funny, people sweeping the quarter hours and all that, because, of course, if you listen for 10 minutes and it was 5 past the hour to quarter after, that's 1 quarter hour. But if you listen from 10 minutes to 20 after, that's 2 quarter hours, hence 2020 news and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter because people started listening whenever they started listening because they wrote it down at the end of the week, same pen, times were always even. But anyway, what it measured more than anything was perception. So your top station, which had all that advertising and all that, usually was fairly legitimate call. Your bottom stations, they were fairly legitimate call too. But everything in the middle, well, that was anyone's guess. But the reason that the broadcasters approved the diary method was they were yearning for something that would be coincidental other than, you know, the telephone. And so they were hoping, you know, I can't imagine it, that people would write it down while they were doing it. And, of course, nobody did. And there are hilarious stories about the diaries, and we've talked a lot about that. But anyway, what happened with the American Research Bureau was that by 1974, they were now pushing demos. And this was a big thing because, again, Hooper and Pulse, this was just, you know, bodies. Now, demos, so you certain the first group of people they went after, advertisers went after, the 25 to 34-year-old female, because they figured she was the one making the decision while she's in the shopping center at what toothpaste she's buying or whatever. And so ultimately, as you know, it went to the 25 to 54-year-old person, where it is today. And, you know, does that have validity? Well, we could argue that both ways. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I'm coming down, 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 down. Coming down with a heartache. I ain't sick, but I got a fever. Blood pressure running high. Pulse ain't right, I can't sleep at night. And here's the reason why. You ain't been around for a week or two. Said I ain't said I had, but I have you. What's wrong with me? I said it's a simple fact. Honey,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Isaac was talking about Jackie Shane, and I said, yeah, let's talk about Jackie Shane and play a couple of his records as well. That was 63 on Sue, and a very, very interesting individual as far as his history. He was transgender, although he didn't discuss this until pretty much the end of his life. It was late. And, you know, after he retired from the music industry, he had moved from Los Angeles back to Nashville, his home, and people thought that he had committed suicide. And you heard that all over the place. No, he didn't. The deal was he was originally from Nashville, and at an early age, obviously African-American, he realized that he was a she. And I don't have details about, what point it actually came to pass with transgenderism, but from the time of 13 on, he was wearing dresses and makeup and growing out his hair. So it was pretty much obvious, and his family was perfectly fine with it. However, the rest of the world maybe not so much. But male or female, she was a force. She was not only great at singing, she would play drums, and she was in a group for a while. Yeah, can you imagine that? Wearing a dress in Nashville, playing drums, standing up. But it worked. And also did some drumming in the studio. A lot of people don't realize, and we've talked on the air about this in the past, that Nashville had a very big R&B legacy as well as country. It just wasn't known, and it wasn't big time. But he was drumming for Larry Williams or Big Maybell or Little Willie John and others. So he was working for Excello for a while, so that was obviously great deal with that. But he wanted out of the South, so he went to Ontario and ultimately moved to Quebec, where he stayed for a while, and he was working at the Esquire Show Bar and other places. Well, and then he was a lead vocalist, and he decided he moved to Toronto, and this was fine. Somehow, the mob did not want him there. He would refer to it as the mob. I couldn't tell you what it was, but ultimately, he had to get out of Dodge. But the first record was Any Other Way, which great record. And of course, you probably know it, other artists, but that was like number two on Chum in 63. And then In My Tenement was the follow-up, and The Flip Side was Coming Down. That was the one that I liked so well. And he was performing all over the Sapphire Tavern and all that kind of stuff. And these records were selling. In fact, Any Other Way was reissued in 67. It was selling so well. But ultimately, whatever went down, I think when I read it, it said, in conflict with the local mob. I have no idea what that means. But apparently, the mob was not welcoming. They kidnapped Shane and bandmates, and the bandmates were sent back to the United States. Shane was left in Canada, but she said, I'm out of here. So Jackie went to Los Angeles, where her aunt was caring for her, and then the story started. He's dead. Also, he was stabbed to death. I heard it all. But all it was after his aunt died, he moved back to Nashville, and that was it. Ultimately, of course, he's no longer with us, too, but made it to 78 years old, died in 2019 in Nashville, and didn't get much of an obit either. All right, so we're talking to Johnny Gowan about ratings, as it were. I don't remember where we are, but that's the story on Nielsen. They were out of the radio business from 62 until they bought Arbitron. By the way, when they got out of the radio business, they didn't say anything like Dan Sorkin embarrassed the hell out of us. They said that radio audiences were diminishing. Yeah, right. Well, they were in their survey. That was the problem. All right, so that's the deal.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Okay, Gary came in here a few minutes ago while the news was on. He said, why do you keep interrupting her? And I said, what?
No.
And he said, yeah, you're overriding her. And I said, So you won't think I'm rude, or your listeners won't think that. It's because the level is low, so a lot of times you'll say something, and I won't hear it, and I'll override you. So it's a kind of like, Johnny, what do you think about that? And you'll say, over.
It's not the level. Are you on a cell phone?
No.
Okay.
Heck no.
Are you on VoIP?
Yes.
Okay. Well, these services are not full duplex. Cell phones, VoIP, they're half duplex. That's one of the ways they save money. Now, what that means is that when you are talking, if I talk at the same time, you will not hear it, period. When I am talking, if you talk at the same time, I will not hear it. That's what half duplex is. And so, obviously, it saves a lot of money for them. And so, you'll hear that very often on talk shows or whatever, or even on television stuff. And it's not that people are talking over people because they're rude. It's that in half duplex, they don't recognize that they're not being heard.
Let me say this. It's not like the old days of the landline phones.
Well, there will no be old days of landline phones because the FCC just overrode the states. You know, one of the things that have been going on is the state public utility commissions had been mandating that the phone companies keep the landline service alive. Some of them were lying. And what I mean by that is, yes, you had copper from your landline to the node, and then it was straight to VoIP. And yeah, Verizon got caught with that in Philadelphia. But in any event, now, there is no mandate that telephone companies keep landline service alive. So overrode the state PUCs telling the telcos that they could drop landline copper service.
Worst thing that ever happened.
Well, it's dangerous. You know, thank God for radio. That's why in the event of a real emergency, a lot of people subscribe to these things in their communities like Everbridge or other services that'll notify you on your cell phone if inclement weather is there. Right. And that's fine in inclement weather, but if the ICBMs ever crest the pole, your cell service is not going to work. And that's why radio is so instrumental. And that's also why, sadly, in counties across America, the emergency management teams don't know anything about audio or radio, RF. They know nothing about it. And so The entire EAS system is having big issues. And that's why I'm taking over as the LP1 for our county, because the county can't do it. They're just not capable.
Well, the thing about the old landlines as we knew them, apparently I guess it was AT&T, I don't know. But anyway, you know, they used to have central offices and all that.
Of course.
And then they continued to price them out of reach. And then in about 2000, this is just my observation, young guys and girls, like college kids, they say, I don't need a landline, I'm going to use my cell phone. And then that grew and grew and grew and grew. And then it seemed to me like the big companies, they didn't want to support the landline. They wanted to get rid of them.
Right.
Because it cost them too much money to maintain, apparently, and they priced themselves so high that people couldn't even afford them.
Well, right, and the long-distance costs, that's largely true, and you're right. The telcos have wanted out of landlines for a long time, but the reality is that while they certainly work, and they work even when the electricity is out and all that, it really was an antiquated technology, and that's why the FCC made the decision that they did. Things change, and that technology is no longer needed.
Well, let me say this. Over the years, and now this has been, 20 years ago now that people started gravitating over to cell phones and dropping their landlines, people have been conditioned to horrible phone service.
Oh, well, of course. Absolutely, that's true. And that's what I say. It's all half duplex. That's 100% true. But you get what you pay for. And let's face it, most of us, you know, if you're like me when you were young, my phone bill was always higher than rent. I mean, that was...
Oh, yes.
You know, because we were radio people, talking to other radio people and all that. And, you know, I knew I was in trouble when the phone bill would come in an 8.5 by 11 envelope. You know, and, oh, God, I've screwed it up now. And there were months, literally, that phone bill would be $1,000. And back then, that was a lot of money. And
did you catch a lot of flack from your parents for being as crazy as you were?
Not really. I do remember once.
I didn't mean to call you crazy.
No, it is. Once in the morning, I used to listen to the listen lines and all that. It was 3 a.m, and I was listening to something, and my mother came on. We had a Western Electric phone. It was, you know, the old metal things, and she broke it over my head.
So,
you know, get off the phones, 3 a.m. Yeah, and it's a fortune. Yeah, it was a fortune.
Well, but, you know, like I said many times, it's so good that we didn't grow up together, because we would have gotten lot of trouble.
Well, you know, I early on got involved with phone freaking, and back in the early days of All Step by Step, that 2600 cycle. Oh, man. So, you know, get your way to free calls. So I was terrible about that.
Do you remember what used to be called? I think some people can rely. I hope. I don't want to call up here and talk about things that people don't understand. But at times in Houston, when I was, this was about 63, something like that, they'd have these phone numbers that would pop up, and they would call them the grapevine.
Uh-huh.
And you would call this number, and all these different people would be on there talking at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was called the grapevine. And I don't know, I think it was a fluke at the phone company. I don't think they did it on purpose. But, you'd have a heck of a time understanding each other, but they were almost like date lines for kids looking for boyfriends and girlfriends and stuff. And this was a big deal back in, 63, maybe?
That as well, believe me, you betcha this was big. And sometimes you'd have to talk over a busy signal or other audible noise.
Yes!
And stuff. Yes, of course. Absolutely. There were all sorts of anomalies with the phone company. That's why Joe and
I was a big phone freak, too.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. When a phone truck could pull up in front of our house, we would scramble. My parents say, "The phone company's here."
Oh, I know. Well,
and they would say, "Mr. and Ms. Goin, if you're a young boy, and if you don't stop messing with our equipment, we're going to have to terminate your service." And he's got some illegitimate phones in here too.
Oh yeah, they'd absolutely confiscate the phones and the equipment, and if you got things from payphones and stuff like that, they'd take them all. But one of the things I did, I shouldn't admit this, but I was your basic contest pig, and on stations that didn't have that many lines, I had multiple phone lines. In fact, someone once said, did a bookie live here? No, just a kid. In any event, what I would do, I had been to a radio station, and I saw what they would do is they'd put the phones on hold before the contest to kind of clear the lines.
Right.
Yes. So what I decided to be on a station that only had three lines was all of the callers. Now, what I had to do, and this is where a friend of mine, Norm Bornstein, he's not alive anymore, but he was great. I said, "Norm, we've got to simulate the phones ringing." So what would happen is I'd call for a request or whatever, knowing the contest coming up, and then I'd say, "Well, goodbye," and I'd hit my recording of dial tone. Well, of course, they'd put it on hold, and there I was. And so I would be all of the callers. And they thought they were putting, dial tone on hold. They were putting a recording recording of dial tone. That way I could be all the callers. So, yeah, that was
pretty smart. And how old were you when you were doing this?
Junior high.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah,
exactly. That was the age. You know, you're old enough to have your own phones and too young to drive. What else do you do?
But I'm telling you, I got myself in so much trouble with the phone company. They hated me. Those phone men, it's like, that little Johnny Goin, he's at it again. They'd come over and preach to my parents. Now, and my mother said, "Why don't you just get off this stuff and go to work for the damn phone company?"
Right. Right. Well, and then, later when they went from, step by step to Crossbar, which was actually old technology too, but then EAS, well, in order to get more than 2,600 cycles, I had to steal the manuals from the phone trucks so that I could find out what numbers do I need for this little blue box. So, yeah, it was...
Oh, my God.
The reason we do that, of course, was because long distance was $5 for the first 3 minutes and $1 a minute after that or whatever. And the calls were outrageous. So, the idea, and nobody thought that stealing from the phone company was stealing. Of course, statute of limitations long over on this. But then... kid named John Draper discovered later the Captain Crunch whistled at 2,600 cycles. So, oh my God, I had cases of Captain Crunch. So that was later. So, yeah. So, yeah, fun with phones. And those days are completely over now because who pays for long distance? And, of course, the other thing is who talks. You know, all these cell carriers and stuff will talk about unlimited talk. That's right, because no one's talking. They're texting. But hang on, I got to stop talking. Don't go away on WGN Radio. WGN, I've got about 1 minute left, and I'm spending it with Johnny, so we'll have another bumper after the news. And thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate this. So Sunday night, asoulofthecity.net.
Thank you very much. It's a 6-hour show of classic soul and R&B. No commercials, but except one.
Okay.
An hour. There's a lot of music there and a lot of fun. And if you like soul music, give it a shot. See if you like it. Soulofthecity.net. Or if you do it other ways, you can go to HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
Right.
With that, I've talked enough.
Thanks,
you got
Johnny.
People holding, I hope.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate the call more than you know.
Well, let me get the heck out of here.
All right, thanks.
For somebody else.
Okay, good deal. Thanks for calling. All right, yeah, next hour we got Brian in Miami. All right, going to talk about Roy Hamilton. There's a lot to say there, I'm sure. We got Robert in LaGrange with some requests. Eduardo in Tampa. Bucky's, yeah, the truck stop. And why not? And Chris in Greenwood, the extended version of his film is out. So we'll find out about that and more. So another hour, 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
And you say that you're my friend, but I know why you're here. She wants to know how I feel. Tell her that I'm happy. Tell her that I'm gay. Tell her I wouldn't have it any other way. Since we've been apart, and when I pass, I hear them whisper, there he goes with a broken heart.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. So there he is, or she is, Jackie Shane, and Any Other Way. And that was a big one. That was so big in the early 60s, and 62 on Sue was when it was released, that they re-released it in 67. Just huge. Huge in Toronto, but pretty much everywhere. And then so many other people did Any Other Way. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Brian is in Miami. So, Brian, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. Actually, it's Radioactive Brian, and that's Brian with a Y, and you say, what difference does it make on radio? Well, it makes a lot of difference on my Florida driver's license. I'm here in suburban Miami, but you'll remember the burg I live in, the little town called Plantation from your days when you were down here.
Very well,
and,
yes.
And a better... I'm thrilled to make air with you. Oh, and thanks for explaining that duplex thing. As you may recall, as you'll certainly recall, Neil Armstrong had a similar problem with his first words from the lunar surface. And, yeah, I want to talk about Roy Hamilton, and believe it or not, connected with the moonshot that later today, well, in your time zone, later tomorrow, we'll be all wishing the best for those four brave people coming back. But anyway, I do want to relate Hamilton to the moonshot, and I bet you know how, but I also hope you'll let me deliver the punchline if you're anticipating me. But in the meantime, I want to drop a couple of names for you that I bet you crossed paths with in your extensive radio career. And one of the guys, in fact, claimed to work with you at KLBJ under Lady Bird Johnson. We'll see if that's true. The other name is the first one, and that's Tim Kenny, who was the chieftain of Metro Traffic Control in Los Angeles and has the distinction in 1982 of giving me my first paying job in radio. And I was on the air for 30 years, so I was quite appreciative of that. Does the name Tim Kenny ring a bell? Did you know him?
I did not know him.
In any case, I wanted to give you the sad news. Certainly your radio savvy audience would know this, or would know his name, maybe, just from all of his traffic reports for many years in Los Angeles. He was the anchor. He was in charge of Metro Traffic Control, and I was one of his street reporters, not often flying, usually just driving around the freeways from 6 to 9 in the morning, and then afternoon drive 4 to 7, and it was a great gig. I was on 15, 20 different radio stations, including KABC, so it was a great start to my career. Tim Kenny, I'm sad to report, I just learned from a colleague of mine at Metro many years ago, I just learned that Tim Kenny died a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He spent his last years, and I visited him up there in the villages about 15 years ago, but unfortunately he is no more, and that's too bad. Don't have a date of death for him yet, but I'm working on that. The other name, this guy, he was my morning co-host at a station in Albuquerque, KKNS, if you remember those defunct call letters. Dustin Drew, did you work with him, as he claimed, at KLBJ?
I might have. You know, it's terrible to say. I don't remember.
He had a lot of great stories about you, telling me about how you would sneak into transmitters at night, something that I would, if I tried to do that, and I would never try to do that, but had I would have been electrocuted the first time I stuck my screwdriver into a piece of equipment. But he said you're a mistress, I should say, at that. Yeah. And it's just one of the many stories he told me about you. And so that's Dustin Drew. If he happens to be out there in the radio audience somewhere, and he might be, he's as hardcore a talk radio practitioner as I was. And well, I'd like to think still am. If he's still in the audience or anywhere in the audience, hello to Dustin, and I enjoyed working with you. And thanks for all the memories in Albuquerque. That said, one other quick parenthetical thing. The Coke 2 liters and the Diet Coke 2 liters, I know them both very well. I haven't touched regular Coca-Cola, classic Coca-Cola, we used to call it. I haven't touched that in years, but I'm addicted to Diet Coke. It's the only thing I drink besides coffee and water. And the problem with 2-liter bottles is the fizz doesn't last, even halfway through. And by the time you get down towards the last quarter of the bottle, it's worthless. And my dad told me this 60 years ago in St. Louis. He said, Brian, the smaller Cokes taste better. And I said, sure, Dad. And I tested him on that, and Dad was right. The smaller the bottle, and that, again, is true of regular Coke or Diet Coke, the smaller the bottle, the better the bite. And that's why I prefer it to Pepsi. I know you couldn't get anything but Pepsi at the Playboy Mansion, but I was never invited there. So I would have been disappointed, because I would have been saying, no, Hef, give me a Coke. And he would have said, you're out of luck. There ain't none at the Playboy Mansion. That said, Roy Hamilton, I got a story to tell you about him, and I know you've got 15 stories to tell about him. I'm not making a request for this song, Raleigh. I can play it anytime, as any listener can, on YouTube, but I do want to say that I think one of the 15 or 20 greatest top 40 singles, and that's going all the way back to Rocket 88, with Ike Turner on bass, if you'll recall, and I bet you do. Don't Let Go it was ruined by Isaac Hayes when he covered it many years later. Of course, Roy Hamilton was covering it. He didn't write it, but he made it his own, and it's just a dynamite piece of music in every sense. Melodically, the chorus comes in beautifully, and it rocks like few tunes prior to 1964 do. So, or at least prior to what we associate with the doo-wop era. And again, I want to tie him to Roy Hamilton to the moonshot. And I'm going to do so as follows. Again, I bet you're anticipating me on this. I bet you know that Roy Hamilton collapsed, I believe from a stroke, a couple of weeks before the moonshot. But did you know that he didn't expire until Sunday, July 20th, 1969, one of the most important days in all of our lives, all of us of a certain age, as they say. I bet you knew he died on the day Armstrong and Aldrin walked on the lunar surface.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the interesting thing for me about Roy Hamilton was that there were really two careers. And you mentioned Don't Let Go, and that was the start of his return. Because when they first, OK, before Epic, when he was an OK and all that, they looked at him early on thinking, you know, he's a guy like a Billy Eckstein or Nat King Cole. We could cross him. And they tried all these songs that you know so well. And, of course, then there was the stale period where it looked like there was nothing. And he was still on Epic, and in late 57, Epic said to him, yeah, why don't you work with Otis Blackwell? And that's the key. And Otis had to coax Roy into doing Don't Let Go that Otis Blackwell produced. And, of course, Otis Blackwell had written Don't Be Cruel and All Shook Up and all these other things, too.
Right.
And so he didn't write it, but he produced it. And, of course, that was huge. It was also one of the early top 40 singles and was recorded, not on the single, but recorded in stereo. So they had a good copy of it to begin with. Then, of course, the last thing he had was You Can Have Her, which his mentor, Bill Cook wrote, and Bill Cook was the first R&B disc jockey on WAAT in New York in 970.
Hey, that's fascinating. And Otis Blackwell, any chance he's related to, I don't know what his real name was, but everybody calls him Bumps Blackwell,
who
played with Dylan on a couple of records in the early 80s, you may not know.
Yeah.
Any relation between the two?
No, not at all. Different coasts.
All right. Do you happen to know what Bumps' real name is? Because I don't.
Oh, gosh, I do know this, and I'm trying to think what this is now, because, yes, I do know this.
I thought you might.
Yeah, his name was Robert.
I think, oh, really? Well, that's an important piece of information. Maybe a $2,000 question on Jeopardy, which I lost on, by the way. But I was a five-appearance champion on the Challengers with Dick Clark, but nobody watched that syndicated show. But I digress. One last thing to punctuate this call, and that is, I'm sure you know, another one of my 15, 20, 25 greatest tunes in rock and roll history on the Climbing the Hit Parade there. Big Joe Turner, the boss of the blues, Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Oh, of
course. Dozens of people have recorded that, but again, just like Roy Hamilton and Don't Let Go, he made it, his own Big Joe Turner did. Yeah. But do you happen to know, because I do, who were the two backup vocalists on that track?
You know, I have no idea.
Well, you're going to be impressed when you hear. Not that I know this, but you would have never imagined this. There was nobody else in the studio. I don't know if it was called Atlantic in those days. Perhaps, maybe not. Maybe it was an earlier title on the records. But the two owners, you know him well, Jerry Wexler, who I met talking to outside of Dylan's studio in Alabama there in 1979 when he was recording his first Christian record, Slow Train Coming.
He produced
that. And the other one, Raleigh, is Ermet Erdogan.
Ermet
Erdogan.
Okay.
They were in the studio watching, and they only had a drummer and a bass player, and there was no vocals. They wanted some vocals on it. So those two guys, non-singers both, went in there and provided the backup vocals on Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
All right.
It's a thrill to help augment your fine broadcast,
right.
And you happen to be one of my two all-time favorite commercial news talkers, and the other one's dead. That would be Rush. Okay. What a thrill to talk to you, Raleigh.
I'm breathless by your energy. I'll say that. Now, by the way, Jerry Wexler did not and never did own Atlantic. Thank God. I'm not a big Wexler fan, but Ahmed and his brother Nesawi did this with Herb Abramson, and it was actually a dentist who financed them. And when Herb Abramson went off to Korea, his wife remained there as a partner. But it was the Erdogans. Later came Wexler. Now, Wexler did.
Well, Wexler was on that record
in
1954.
I can tell you,
maybe he wasn't part of the ownership, but he had some connection.
Yeah.
He was in the studio, and that's why he got Shanghai'd along with Ahmed Erdogan to do it.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but he was not an owner. I guarantee you that. It wasn't just...
But he is a legend, or was a legend, and I hope will remain a legend. And Raleigh James is a legend, too. I'll talk to you again, I hope, if I'm not banned from the show.
Oh, sure, anytime. Call anytime. Appreciate it, Brian, with a Y.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. So, there you have it. Man, there's more energy than I'm ever going to have. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, we will get to Robert and Eduardo and Chris and Chuck, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Speaking of Atlantic, it was on Atlantic 1974, Average White Band, Keeping It To Myself. John had asked me to play that, and interestingly, he was introduced to that record by his closest friend in high school days, and Bill Granby. And sadly, he requested it, and then, you know, I didn't play it and all that. Well, about a week ago, 10 days ago, Bill Granby died. So rest in peace, Bill Granby, and hopefully John liked it. It was a great song, and it was on the same album that had Pick Up the Pieces and all that kind of stuff. All right, I want to say a couple things quickly about Atlantic before we do anything else. Atlantic was Herb Abramson and Ahmet Erdogan, and they needed money, and so Dr. Sabat was a dentist, and he gave them the money. And so Abramson, his wife Miriam, and Ahmet was it. But what happened was Herb got drafted in 1953. And when Herb got drafted, Jerry Wexler had been at Billboard magazine. In fact, he's the guy who coined Vox Jocks. You know, I wrote Vox Jocks when I was at Billboard. Well, I will give him credit for that. He absolutely was responsible for naming Vox Jocks and for coining rhythm and blues. But anyway, they hired Jerry, and he was an employee at that point. And when Abramson came back, though, Atlantic to him was a very changed company. And Miriam was a little changed woman, too, but that's another story. In any event, Herb decided that he was going to leave. Nesswee joined, and that's about 1955. And so they were, you know, the divorce came, Miriam stayed, and she later married one of the Beanstalks publishing. But in any event, that was the deal. And Jerry was there until 1975. Yeah, along with a lot of other notable people, Tom Dowd and people like that. But anyway, that was the deal on Atlantic. And yeah, Ahmet was terrific. Actually, Ahmet was terrific in his first marriage. His second marriage, he practically married royalty, and he became a changed man as far as that goes. Yeah. And but back when he was just down and dirty like the rest of us, it was a wonderful time had by all. So we'll leave it there, and we'll pick it up with Robert and Eduardo and Chris and Chuck, and hopefully you coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Speaking of KLBJ, man, the song takes me right back there. Not this version, but this is Nelson Riddle, by the way, and this was Brian's request. 1971 on MPS, which was a German label, Lamento, which was actually a remake of an Antonio Carlos Jobim record. But I would do these promos on KLBJ, and they'd be absurd. And in the background, more often than not, I did something from the Wave album that Antonio Carlos Jobim did on A&M in 67. And Lamento was one of them. But on the album, it actually has lyrics. And that was Vinicius who wrote the lyrics. And it was very tasty.
Longe dos olhos meus, ai, o meu viver é te esperar pra te dizer adeus, mulher amada. Destino.
And by the way, that's Brian with an I, and not to be confused with our previous caller, Brian with a Y. And Brian had requested Lamento, and I thought, I got to play that. Got to have me a fix of little Antonio Carlos Jobim, too. And so that's the deal on that one. Now, Johnny, who you just heard, Johnny Goen, said, yes, you worked with Dawson Drew. How about that? And here is the deal. Apparently, Dustin also worked with Bob Cole. And Bob and Brian will remember Bob from when he was a teenager in Miami doing overnights on WWOK. And he was also Johnny's PD at Jammin' 105.9 in Austin. And Johnny attests that Dustin is a great guy, so there. And he also says, Brian, if you talk to Dustin again, tell him that Johnny Goen sends his best. Raleigh, too, while you're at it. And last he knew Dustin was in Waco. All right, so Bob Cole was great. Bob, I knew Bob. His mother was an employee at Channel 10, which was WLBW at the time. Larry B. Wilson owned it. And later, of course, it became PLG. But when it was WLBW, there was Bob's mother. And occasionally, Bob would come to work with Mom. And, you know, he was not old enough to drive or any of that stuff. And he had the same voice, big voice, that he's got now. I mean, by 13, this guy sounded like he was a trucker. And, you know, talked to a lot of truckers on the overnight show, too. And so it was that I remember when he got this job at WWOK, I was working there for a while. And a guy who was a music director, Bill Taylor, who was a close friend of mine, said, we've got a problem with Bob. And I said, what? Well, he's talking to the Hotline Honeys. I said, oh, my God. And so it was true. Here's Bob, who is all of 15 at most. And here's these, snuff queens, so to speak, these lounge lizards who are talking about him. Yeah, come visit me. And so we had to convince Bob that that was not an invitation he wanted to take up. But he was great, and he had a great career, too, in not only in Austin. And, I mean, Austin, my God, he practically owns Austin, restaurants and everything else and radio station. But for several years, he was in D.C. as well, doing very well there. So I hope Bob is well. I haven't talked to Bob now. It's been years, but we used to talk regularly. And he's been a wonderful help to me over the years. And so, yeah, he says, Dustin probably got some of your stories from Bob. Yeah, well, Bob would know some of my skeletons, I'm afraid. So, 888-876-5593, Robert in LaGrange, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. I added one more request when I heard your last bumper. It's Desafinado by Stan Getz and Charlie Byrd.
Okay, that's the version you want? That's the version you get. Let me, I'm looking for your name because I've got it here. You have another request I haven't played yet, so let me find you.
From last week,
From the Drifters. Dance With Me you had. Okay, so Desafinado.
Yeah.
And you want the American version. All right. Stan Getz.
Right. I guess, yeah.
All right, yeah.
And, there's another tune. Now, this isn't going to be the one I'm going to ask for, but it's actually the flip side. There was a novelty song called The Little Space Girl by Jesse Lee Turner.
Yes.
But when I flipped, yeah, But when I flipped it over, it was such a smooth early rock and roll song called Shake Baby Shake.
Yeah, you liked that, did you? Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, I thought you would, but it doesn't sound like you did that much. But yeah.
I'll play it for you.
And if I could throw in one more, the original Mockingbird by Ines Fox.
Yes, and Charlie. Okay, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right.
Sure.
So,
bye-bye.
Yeah. And of course, that's the only version that matters. Yeah, Ines and Charlie Fox. But I don't think he's credited on the label. I think just she. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And let's see. We got Tommy in Chicago. Tommy, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
Hello, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. What's up? Good to hear from you.
I just welcomed John back.
Yes.
I was listening to your Epic stuff. I love when you talk about your years with Epic.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard it tonight, this guy was terrific. And if you get a chance next week after the bumper Monday, can you talk a little bit more about your years with Epic and who you met and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know that it's that interesting, but I'll be happy to talk about Epic because its role at CBS Records was also, it was over the custom labels. So, OK, for instance, all that was handled through Epic, not Columbia.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and so Monument was another one, and later Stax and Enterprise. All that came through Epic rather than Columbia. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Raleigh, thank you so much.
All right.
I enjoyed you.
Well, good.
You handled it without John.
Yes. Well, we survived it. Yes. I hope I don't have to do it again, but I guess I can. Right. Thanks.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear his voice. I'm like, John, you're back.
Yes. He got back this afternoon.
God bless him.
Yeah.
And God bless you, too.
All right.
Love your show.
Well, it's so good to hear from you. Call again soon. Well, you should.
Listen every night.
Well, thank you. Call more often.
Will do, Raleigh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a blessed weekend.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so 888-876-5593. And I haven't forgotten Eduardo or Chris or Chuck and or you either, as far as that goes, if you want one of the waning moments. But I don't know. I'm talkative enough that you may not get in. We'll pick it up right now in minutes right here on WGN Radio.
Just follow the stairway to this lonely world of mine. You'll find me waiting here in apartment number 9. Not so very long ago, you walked away from me, and after all the plans we made, you decided to be free. Loneliness surrounds me without your arms around me. And the sun will never shine in apartment number 9.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, it was Don and Beloit who requested Tammy Wynette. She was not the first to do it. The guy who co-wrote it was Bobby Austin, and he co-wrote it with Johnny Paycheck, and they released it in the summer of 66, and it flopped. And so Billy Sherrill picked it up for Tammy, and of course the Tammy Wynette version became a giant hit.
Just follow the stairway to this lonely world of mine.
Yeah, and you can hear her. She's double-tracked on that, too. Interesting. If you like it, of course, you can hear the whole thing. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But that was a big hit. after she recorded it, George Jones recorded it. Gee, how about that? Then Ernest Tubb and Claude Gray and Johnny Paycheck and Roy Drusky and Liz Anderson and, yeah, Lynn's mama, and Johnny Carver and Johnny Bush. So this was recorded all over the place. And while Billy produced the Tammy Wynette version, he didn't get the royalties on anybody else because he didn't write it. So that's the deal with apartment number 9. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. So I've got to figure out what I'm doing here with the twanger so that I can get somebody on the air. And that would be Eduardo in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Eduardo.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
I
can't forget to say, it's great to hear John before I forget.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Everybody's so happy that John's back.
Yes, we certainly are.
Yeah, I was going to request, actually while I was on hold, I had some songs here on my, one of my computers, and I was checking to see if I could find that song. Remember, we never found that song that I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got a request, let me see here. I'm going to botch the name here, but, you're going to help me with the pronunciation here. Toccato Mariano, and the song is I Can't Help It.
I don't.
1993.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. So I'll play it, and I'll be hearing it for the first time.
Yeah. And, real quickly, what was your experience with Bucky's? Because over there in Huber Heights, Ohio, they're going to be...
They're
waiting outside.
They're just
for the first opening.
Right. They're just a huge chain. They've come up more recently than when I was living in the South. They're primarily Southern based, but I always laugh because my best friend growing up was Bucky Lemon, and so I thought, too bad Bucky wasn't alive to know he got a convenience store. So yeah, they're big. They're kind of like 7-Elevens on it with a thyroid condition.
No. Maybe they'll pop up on Tampa side one day.
I'm
checking there.
I'm surprised they're not.
Yeah, not yet.
That's interesting. So, it's Bucky's, BUC-EES, and, they're sort of travel centers, and they're open 24 hours a day, and they pride themselves on exceptionally clean restrooms. And I always laugh about that, the old joke about, it took my mother 10 weeks to get down from New York to Florida. She kept seeing the sign clean restroom, so she did. So, yeah, so that's the deal. I'm very surprised that it's not where you are. They're based outside of Houston. And they've been around since 1982. You know, they were like in Lake Jackson and stuff like that. And they, they had Travel Center in Luling and all that. And then they were in Alabama, a bunch of places.
There might be one in, I just remember, there might be one in Ocala up north.
Yeah.
Because I'm in North Tampa. There might be one over there by Ocala, Lana Lake, something like that.
There could be. I know they were fairly early on. At some point, they got into Sevierville, Tennessee, next to Gatlinburg and all that. But a lot of Texas as far as that goes. But they got Louisiana there on Baton Rouge. But Florida, I think they've got one in Daytona Beach and in St. Augustine.
Yeah, on the other side, they got them, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
I think it's just that too. But yeah, they're mostly the South, like Alabama, Georgia, Florida. You know, they got a couple in Kentucky, and I think they have one in Virginia. So they got one in Ohio, and one in Missouri. But and they opened one in Colorado. That's there may be more, but that's all I know. And some of them look really cool if you see them. So you can check that out. They do, and they've got big Tesla charging stations and all those kind of things, and car washes and all that that kind of stuff. So
I'm glad that I'll leave you on this because you're running out of time here. The that garage that collapsed in Philly.
Yes,
I'm glad there wasn't a lot more people in there. I think it was like one or two people that passed away, but.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't really do a good job with that.
Yeah, No, very sad. All right, good deal. Yeah. Well, keep us posted.
Okay.
Maybe
have a good weekend, Raleigh.
Yes, you too. Maybe the next
you
time you
have
call,
a good
you'll have
a
good
you.
Deal. Thanks, appreciate it. Maybe maybe Orlando will Eduardo will hear from the interview again because he's supposedly going to have another one coming up. All right, so the waning moments here, and they belong to Chris, who's been waiting. Boy, Chris and Chuck both have been waiting a while. So, Chris, all right, the long version of your movie. Where can I see it?
You can see it on YouTube and on my Facebook page.
All right, on YouTube, what do I look for?
Just type in "she," parentheses, D-I-D in capital letters, and I-T.
Okay. And do I have to...
You see it?
No, I'm looking. Let's see. No, I'm seeing Eric Carmen Records. Is your name associated with it?
Yeah, just type in "she."
Okay.
Capital B-I-D in parentheses, and it, a film by Chris Whiteman of Greenwood.
Okay. I'm looking. All right, I got it. Yes, it did. And what I'm going to do is I will put a link on Raleigh.net in tonight's blog, I promise.
Okay.
All right, great.
And also... how you get back on your Facebook page? Because I'm having trouble getting in. Like, why they have that?
I don't have a Facebook page, as far as I know. I think there's a fan group or something, but I'm not a member.
Oh, okay.
So it's nothing official. So you know, everything of mine is on Raleigh.net, Rolly.net. So
yeah, and I got a question.
Yeah.
Now, how long do them political ads run on these local TV stations? They're aggravating?
Okay, well, it depends. See, you got two windows. You got 60 days, or actually 45 days before the primary and 60 days before the general, you get the lowest unit rate. So where you are, there must be a South Carolina primary coming up within 45 days if you're seeing a lot of politicals.
Yeah, like the governor, like sometime in June.
Well, you wouldn't be getting those rates then if it's in June. I'll look and I'll have an answer when you call me next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
I hope
appreciate
you have
it.
A good weekend.
You
enjoy
too.
My movie.
You too, thanks. I will. All right, so I'll have that link right up at Raleigh.net. We apologize to Chuck in Rockford and like that. Now, Monday Night Trivia, I'm delayed by an hour, so it'll start at 11 instead of 10 Central. Until then, that's a wrap. That's right. We thank Bob, oh, do I ever, for those wonderful links, but for keeping us on the air tonight. And we thank John for coming back and screening your calls. That's right. He didn't leave forever. And especially, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. We'll do it again next week. Until then, that's a wrap. As I say, it's WGN Radio.
Cruise the Boss, plus the Flamingo Kinko and Crossroads Crusader Collision. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Mommy Fearist, pistol whacking mama, LA's MacArthur's Park is pelting in the reign of terror, and the feds say it's a Mexican mafia street boss known as Moms who's the hand that rocks the fatal. Ma Starker dishes out death and corruption. Cops say if legal and illegal dealers around the perilous park don't cough up cash on command. Hiss Hiss Bang Bang is said to take her orders from her hell-raising jefe hubby who's been in the hoosgow for ages. Malice in Chains appeared in court, but no matter, don't mess with Moms. Fink Flamingo. Sin City's seen sickos and stinkos, but this bozo's for the birds. Bro, Canada got caught on camera, bird-dogging real-life flamingos at the Vegas resort of the same game. Animal control and cops say the shirtless sloshed schmo grabbed one of the flamingos named Peachy, took it back to his room, and choked it. Wild Thangover's in the clink, facing down animal cruelty charges for torturing the poor critter now under the care of vets. Signal-seeking sorrow. A Colorado Crossroads Crusader campaigning for a caution-commanding traffic light met a tragic twist when the determined do-gooder was killed at the very same sinister street corner where his wife was struck and slain 2 years ago. The man pushed politicians and planners for a blinking beacon to tame the treacherous turn, but before the safety signal could shine, a speeding vehicle delivered a devastating, deadly deja vu. City officials now say the long-debated light is still under study. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.